You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing with the summer series, which is Art of the Session. And we are talking through the limited responses for the playroom today. What I mean by that is there is a finite list from which we have to work with how we respond in the playroom. And if we are within the list, we are adherent. If we are doing something other than the list, we are likely deviating. So we have a very limited set of options for how we respond, and we'll talk through that. I think a lot of times therapists miss the boat. I think a lot of times therapists make things very difficult unnecessarily, and we'll debunk some myths. We'll talk about what the options are, all kinds of stuff to dive into today. Before we get there, a couple of things. First and foremost, so many of you, legit, so many of you took advantage of the discount for the CPRT course. I am so excited for those of you that have already purchased that and are ready to add CPRT into your practice with your families. I think you will absolutely love doing CPRT with parents. It's one of my favorite things that I've ever done in my 20 years. I love every single CPRT that I've ever facilitated. So for those of you, and there were so many of you, like, we were all blown away. Corwell was blown away. I was blown away. It was incredible to see how many of you were hungry for that. So really looking forward to hearing stories about that. Please send me emails. A few of you already have. Thank you for those of you that have mentioned that you've already started doing the course and you've already seen benefit from it. If you have stories, if you want to share things, if you want to ask me questions, shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Also, if you are interested in doing coaching, we have a group starting in about a month. So go to playtherapynow.com. You'll be able to sign up for a discovery call. We have one spot left in the August group. So don't wait if you're interested. Otherwise, you're going to be in November. So I'm just letting you know, if you want to get started now, you need to hurry. Otherwise, it'll be November before the next one starts. Okay, so let's talk through the finite set of options here. When we step foot into the playroom, we've been going through from the ground up. What is the process of the session? How do we have that initial meeting with parents? How do we greet kids in the lobby? What do we say when we're walking toward the playroom? What do we say when we walk in the playroom? Now we're in a session. We have a limited list from which we can choose our response. And I am going to go into each of these in more detail in subsequent episodes. So for those of you that might not be super familiar with the skills and or in the context of using them in session, we're going to look at each one individually. But for today, I'm going to kind of hit an overview of what the options are, knowing that I'm going to do a much deeper dive as we get into more episodes in this series. But here's the myth that I'd like to debunk. I mean, gosh, there are so many, but who has time? Y'all don't, I don't, we'd be here forever. But there are so many myths surrounding CCPT that I would really love to just absolutely myth bust. That's such a great show, by the way. Anyway, but if we are talking about the biggie, I think the greatest myth surrounding CCPT is that there's no structure. You just let kids play. And kids just get to come in and do whatever they want. And there's no framework. And you just are kind of willy-nilly just hanging out with a kid. And who knows what goes on in there. This is really kind of crazy to me that this is the notion of CCPT. Because I would argue, in complete contrast to the myth, that CCPT has more structure and framework than any other play therapy model. Because we are never at the helm. We are never deciding what happens. We are never bringing something new in. There are never confounding variables. There are never changes. There's never an unknown. We are 100% governed by our list of responses. Yes, we have to execute them using the appropriate phrase and understanding how and when, etc. It's not just as simple as we're pulling from a list. But at the end of the day, there are no other outliers, no variables. We remain adherent to the skills, and that's it. So I would argue we actually have far more structure and framework built in. And so many of you have reached out to me and said, one of the reasons I have fallen in love with CCPT is because there's a process that you follow. There's a system. I'm not guessing. I'm not throwing something out there. I'm not hypothesizing. I'm not directing. I was always just feeling like I had no idea what was going on. But now I just remain adherent to the model, and there's framework for me. Yes. That's one of the most incredible facets of CCPT. We just adhere to the model and it's all there for us. So when a child is in a session, no matter what, and I don't use an absolute, you know me, unless it's legitimate, no matter what, this is an absolute, meaning in any scenario. You could give me a list of 1,000 things that could happen in a play session, and every single one of those 1,000 things is going to get my same comment. You have a skillful and intentional response that you can provide. No matter what is happening, we're not guessing, we're not hoping, we're not thinking maybe. We are using an intentional, purposeful, skillful response because we have structure and framework in the model. So you might be saying, okay, great. So you keep talking about this list, Brenna. What's our options? Well, let's start with the basics, the 3 reflective responses. No matter what is going on, one of these is going to apply at least. In other words, this is your keep in your back pocket and pull it out at any given moment. The pillars, some of the other things we're going to talk about, they're always going to be relevant depending on the circumstance. And we're going to fall back on something from this list. However, in any scenario, you can either track behavior, reflect feelings, or reflect content. Sometimes you can only do one. Sometimes you can only do 2. Sometimes you can do all 3. But regardless of what is happening or not happening in a playroom, you can use one of those 3. So your reflective responses are going to be your go-to standard. Reflect feeling, reflect content, track behavior. Then another category of our options, one of the 4 pillars. And we know that reflecting feelings is the crossover. So reflecting feelings is a reflective response as well as a pillar. So that one has double category. Then you have limit setting. You have choice giving. You have encouragement. So at this point, with the reflective responses and with the pillars, knowing that reflecting feelings is categorized in both, we have 6 options that we're going to be pulling from. Depending on the scenario, we might provide a choice. We might use an encouragement phrase. If a limit is required and necessary, we'll set a limit. We'll reflect feelings, we'll reflect content, we'll track behavior. 6 options, unequivocally, that you're going to have as options on your list. Some secondary options, you can use esteem building responses. Serve a similar purpose to encouragement, but they are a little bit distinct and separate. So you can use esteem building responses with a child. You can provide narrative commentary for what's happening in the session. You can enlarge the meaning of what's taking place. You can use an I wonder statement. You can use the whisper technique. That's it, y'all. Let me count real fast. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 options. Now, I have a feeling, because I gave it a number. I have a feeling one or more of you are going to email me and say, well, I thought we can also say this. And then it's going to be like, oh yeah, shoot, there's 12. Okay, so don't hold me to 11. If I forgot one, let me know and I'll make note of it in a future episode. We'll add it. But from my brain, when I wrote down my list, I wrote down 11 options. Therapists make this way too hard. It is not complicated. It is not difficult. It takes skill. It takes practice. You have to learn a new language. You have to be adherent. You have to put in your time. You have to make sure that you've rehearsed muscle memory so your brain and your tongue sync up appropriately in real time. But this is not complicated. This is not difficult. And we make things far too hard. We're always like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to say? Oh wait, how am I supposed to handle that? What am I supposed to do? Oh, okay, I need to be doing this. Look, y'all, there's 11 options. Maybe, theoretically. According to my calculations, there are 11, maybe 12, I don't know. We'll settle on a number once I hear from y'all. But we're looking at a finite set of options. So here's the beauty of it. You need to do the work so that you are fully versed, fully competent, and fully capable at 11 things. 11. We're not talking about hundreds. We're not talking about thousands. We're talking about 11 things. You master 11 responses and you are fully adherent to the model. And you are meeting the child where they are and you are letting the child lead and you are trusting the process and the child will self-actualize. And you're establishing relationship and preserving it along the way. 11 things to master. Why are we constantly stressed? Why are we constantly so worried and overwhelmed by, gosh, this model and CCPT, and I have so much to learn, and I'm so green, and I'm so new, and I'm so inexperienced. Can you master 11 things? The answer is yes. Unequivocally, yes, you can. So here's a litmus test for you. If you are responding in any way other than those 11 things that we've talked about, you have to question whether or not you're deviating from the model, and you have to determine what is driving what you're saying instead. So, are you asking questions? That's not one of the 11 options. Are you making assumptions? Not one of them. Are you teaching the child something? Not one of them. Are you leading the session in some way? Not an option. Are you communicating expectations? Not one of the options. And so if you are doing something other than these 11 things at any given moment, so not only can you assess retroactively and reflectively, like, oh, okay, in my session today, did I do something other than those 11 things? But even in the moment, if you are in session and you find yourself saying something and you go, oh, that's not one of the 11 options, you're not adherent to the model. So what is at the heart of that for you? Is it a need for control? Is it a need to redirect? Is it a need to meet an agenda? Is it because of pressure, internal or external? Is it what's going on for you? This will help you settle in to the framework and the structure. We have limited options, 11 of them, I think. So this should not be something that is overwhelming. This should not be something that is keeping you up at night. This is not something that should be stressing you out. This should be so freeing and so encouraging and so amazing, quite frankly, to go, oh my gosh, I have to learn the language of 11 things. And if I just do one of those 11 things, I know that I'm on the right track. And I know this kid's going to become a better version of themselves. That's exciting. So pressure's off, y'all. And make sure that you have these 11 at your disposal, muscle memorized, where you don't even have to hardly think about it. Does it going to take time? Sure. Do you have to work at it and practice and rehearse and go over this? And yeah, you have to learn a new language. We say this all the time. Yet at the end of the day, our structure and our framework gives us a real small set. And we just use them as they're appropriate. If we provide a choice, if we set a limit, if we encourage, if we esteem build, if we wonder, if we enlarge, if we provide narrative commentary, reflect feelings, reflect content, track behavior, you know that you're doing what the model calls you to do. So I hope that that makes you feel like you can do this. If you've already been relatively adherent, catch yourself maybe not following those 11 things. What are you doing in addition to that? Get to the root of why, and then you can work on it. But at the end of the day, when we think about the art of the session, and we will look at all of these skills individually, but when we think about this broad picture, we are all about relationship. That is the most important component. The be with attitudes are unspoken but experienced for the child. And then we pull from a very small list. Be encouraged, be excited, be amazed by play therapy and the child-centered model. It is truly the most incredible gift that we could be given, and we get to do it every day. That is something that is worth celebrating, and certainly something that should inspire us to say, yeah, I can do this, and I'm going to make sure that I'm fully following the model because I believe in it that much. Love y'all so much. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.